Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The nations who care for their children and instill in their hearts love, courage, and education. O Lord, unite our generation by the common bond of morality and basic needs. We need to worship, to love, to be housed, fed, played with, educated.
Can you give me some clown sounds, please? I ask.
We pray that you guide our leaders, especially those convening today, to make wise decisions.
Oh, this is the opening to the Democrat National Convention. You've got the... I never heard anything like this. Let me ask you something. Is there anything in the Bible that says that you have a right to be housed? I've been checking the Old and New Testaments. I don't see anything about the right to be housed. Are these people crazy? Are they that out of touch with reality? Answer, of course. And I'll tell you something. The longer I hear these people speak and the more I see the litany of these people, the Democrats, and the more I see the whack jobs like Gavin Newsom and the others, the more I know how great George Bush actually was. In other words, by comparison, I'm starting to wish George Bush could run for another 4 years. I really cannot tell you how disturbed I am to listen to these people trying to sound sanctimonious and religious at the same time, by mocking the Lord, by mocking God, by mocking the Bible, and coming up with their own Bible. These people create their own Bible, and they want us to believe that they're actually real, and they sound like stupid school children. It's unbelievable to me. But it got even worse today. Oh, by the way, you're listening to The Savage Nation, One Man's Opinion, Michael Savage here. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The best is yet to come, of course. We haven't heard yet from Mama Pelosi. I'd rather hear from Mama Leone, frankly, but we'll listen to Mama Leone another time when if we can get her. She's maybe can give us a ravioli recipe. But Mama Pelosi will be up there giving us her mumbo jumbo. Jimmy Carter, a good friend of the Hitler of Iran, will be up there. And, of course, the star tonight has not yet been heard from at the Democrat National Convention. That would be none other than Michelle Obama. And a lot's riding on that woman. We all know she's an angry woman. In fact, many of us would say she's a hateful woman. And it slipped out every time she spoke until they repolished her and reprogrammed her and sent her back out to look like a nice average mom. But the New Yorker cartoon painting her like Angela Davis with the fro and the AK was probably closer to her inner being than is the new do, which is hoodoo. And I got to tell you something. I'm not into voodoo. I'm into the Savage Nation. And so here we go, 1-800-449-8255 phone number. But, you know, to me, although this is a big day for those of you who are political junkies, and let's face it, it's a big day in some ways. But the opening litany, where all the leaders of different faiths, you had the priest, you had the rabbi, you had the this and you had the that, praying in unison. But it got even worse later. Listen to clip 16.
We believe that the children are the future. Because we believe that we occupy this earth simply as caretakers, given the great responsibility of stewardship of this beautiful planet. Because we believe that we are all, every one of us, made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
Oh, how au courant. Oh, how au courant. Now, if that woman didn't sound like a low-grade moron in high school who was reading somebody else's words, some platitudes that she read on a Hallmark card, I'd like to know who is this jerk? Leah Dodry, who was tapped by DNC Howard Dean to serve as the CEO of the 08 Democrat Convention, who hosted the DNC Interfaith Congress? You're telling me that the Democrats are the party of faith? Are you people crazy? These are atheists. 99% of them mock religion. They hate religion. And you want me to prove it to you? Here's Joseph Biden's voting record. Would you like me to read some of the things that the great Joe Biden actually has done? Oh, I can go down the list. No on requiring schools to allow voluntary prayer. And many other things related to that. No on prohibiting minors from crossing state lines for an abortion. That means that your daughter can cross a state line and go to a hole-in-the-wall clinic for an abortion. And yet they want to pretend that they're into religion and morality and God? I don't think anyone has a monopoly on religion and morality in politics, nor in talk radio. Let me be clear about that. But please, don't read us school book prayers, mumbo-jumbo, if you don't mind, because I don't believe a word of it. These are communist, socialist, anarchists, anti-Americans, right through them. It runs through them like a yellow streak. Now, what's important to me today is not so much this, but something else, and I think many of you know what it is, and that is my book. I have worked on this book all of my life, and I've come up with it. I've killed myself to get it up on my website today. I know the audience is rather small a week before Labor Day, and I also know that the audience is rather small on a Monday to begin with, but Michael Savage has finally written the book that I know you've all been waiting for. Psychological Nudity is the title. And it's a shockingly great title because I've opened my show with that Psychological Nudity for 15 years. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. You'll have to let me boast about it for a few minutes if you don't mind. If you don't mind, I have to talk about it. I have worked on this. I have worked on it. I've worked on it. You've asked for it. And here it is. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. And I can guarantee you that Teddy will get a movie deal before I will. That I can guarantee you. If he is not the cutest dog in the entire world, Teddy, you're great. Teddy, you're great. And every dollar that we make on this book, I'm going to devote to dogs somehow. Because I don't need it. We're going to do something for dogs somewhere down the line. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but let me tell you something. The title alone says it all. Now, what you don't see, and this is killing me. We didn't get it posted yet. I hope to have this surprise for you. The back cover is a real surprise. There's another picture on the back cover, which I'm not going to tell you about. I hope Art can get it up today. But you're going to see something no one has ever done in print before, ever. In the history of books, nobody has done what Michael Savage did on the back cover of this book. And one last note, please, and I'll be talking about it over and over again this week. I have not yet gone to the printer with the first print run because I really don't know how many of them to print. I don't know how many of you want the book. So I'm asking you if you're even thinking of getting it to order it this week because I'm going to the printer next Tuesday with my order. September 1st, whenever that is. When is that, babe? Well, if that's this week? Okay, Monday. Everyone's off Monday. Anyway, next Tuesday I'm putting it in the print run. And if you want your copy, you've got to let me know now and I'll tell you why. Because it takes 5 weeks to print the book. And then to ship it and whatnot, you're not going to get it till the end of October, That's it for the holiday season. So if you're going to want one, please, you're not going to be billed until the book is shipped, by the way. MichaelSavage.com has the whole story on it. But let me just read you some of the stories in my book, please. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack, Tippy the Dog Dies and is Thrown into a Garbage Truck, When Pasta Was Spaghetti, My Silent Brother, The Electric Blue Saddle Stitched Pants, Fat Al's Tuna, Nutty Friend Had Crazy Mother, Coney Island Wax Figures, Dead Man's Pants, Tippy the Mad Dog, Woodchuck Bill, Plus, Louie and His Crazed Monkey, Half Man, Half Woman, The Yawn Man Gets Brain Cancer, The Nympho Story, Fiji Islands in 1969, Happy and Sad Cufflinks, First Autopsy, Working on a Cruise Line, Talking to a Bum About God, Love by the Sewer Plant, Mama Savage Calls, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. Many more favorites, including some insightful political commentaries that I've given to you on this radio show, including this great one, is in the book, What if John McCain's middle name was Jesus? Now, I think that's a great story because, as you well know, Barack Obama has a middle name, and it's Hussein. And they said, how dare you even mention Hussein? Why is Hussein an important name? Why do you have to mention Hussein Obama? Well, the answer is because if John McCain, if his name was John Jesus McCain, I can guarantee you the Democrats today would be screaming bloody murder, saying, what does Jesus signify? That's why we ask, what does Hussein signify? The medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder. Debunking man-induced global warming. Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers. Savage for president. It's a must for everyone who's read a Savage book. Any of you who've ever bought any of my four bestsellers, you're going to want this one. It's an original. I am publishing it myself. The pub date is October 15th. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, and click. And there it is, and I'll know how many you print. 1-800-449-8255. We have another great soundbite from the convention for you today, and that is coming up right now. Sister Helen Prejean, who is a Roman Catholic nun, an anti-death penalty fanatic, she wrote the Pap, Dead Man Walking, starring Sean Pencilhead. And what she has to say today at the Democrat National Convention should make every Catholic out there worry. And you should worry very deeply about the kind of nun she is. Now, I have met nuns who I love. I revere nuns. And I've given a little money to nuns. I think they're saints, every one of them. But I think Helen Prejean is the type of nun that would have belonged in an atheist nation, or does belong in an atheist nation, not in a Christian nation. Because she talks about racism. She attacks America. She talks about things that are not very Christian, by the way. Listen to Sister Helen Prejean today at the Democrat National Convention, and worry if you're a Catholic. Worry very deeply. Listen now.
The death penalty, far from being a peripheral moral issue, reveals the very soul of America. It lays bare our deepest wounds as a nation. Our racism, our assault on poor people, and our ready instinct to use violence to solve social problems.
Now let's stop for a minute. This psycho babbler has the nerve to say that the death penalty is an assault on poor people, not on criminals who've been given every chance in the world to have an appeal. The death penalty is an insult because it's racism, when in fact the death penalty is carefully not applied to people of color in almost every case for fear of being called a racist tool. In fact, the last few people that I've seen executed were white people. And this Sister Helen Prejean has the nerve to open up these old lies all over again. This is unbelievable to me that they would have this whack job at the Democrat National Convention. Okay, I want you to listen to clip 22.
Overwhelmingly, the punishment of death is meted out to those 8 out of every 10. It's because who kill white people. It's the death of white people that causes outrage in this country.
Let's stop right here. In other words, wait a minute. What she's saying is the death penalty should not be applied to people who kill white people, but it should only be applied to people who kill people of color. This woman is not only dangerously deluded, she's a maniac, but this is an example of the Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Jimmy Carter, Democrat Party. I'll be right back.
Is it not time for us as a nation to be converted from our pursuit of violence to become a nation that embraces dialogue, diplomacy with our adversaries? Are we ready to build a peace academy alongside our military academies? Wouldn't it be life-giving if every school child in America would learn nonviolent conflict resolution?
They'd be slaves, you psychopathic maniac, you. You stupid idiot, you. The last thing our children need is to be taught nonviolent conflict resolution, you stupid moron, you. You know, I don't care that you're a nun. I don't care what you wrap yourself in. You're a maniac, and you're a danger, a clear and present danger to the survival of this country in the world in which we live, you stupid idiot, you. What world do you live in, idiot? Nonviolent conflict resolution. What world does this Sister Helen Prejean live in? She does not live in the real world. She lives in the world of Democrat behind kissers. Let's put it to you that way. They all tell her what a wonderful, great woman she is. Doesn't that sound nice? Embrace dialogue with our adversaries. Now, if we had followed that advice in 1939, you liberals would either be speaking German, or if you were Jewish, you'd be a lampshade. Don't you understand that, idiot? Have you gotten that through your stupid head yet, that the world is a very dangerous place? If you live in the Bay Area, why don't you go take a walk through San Francisco's Mission District at night and see if you can have a dialogue with MS-13 members? Or you moron idiots who live in the East Bay of San Francisco in Oakland, take a nice walk in Oakland at night and see if you can have a dialogue with the people breaking into restaurants and hijacking them. Or if you live in New York, go take a stroll in Central Park at night and tell me if you can have a dialogue with the rapists and the muggers in that park. You stupid idiots, you. When are you going to wake up to the real world? Again, spitting in the face of the cops and the military who defend you from the mad wolves out there. If it wasn't for the sheepdogs, you would have been eaten for breakfast, you stupid idiots, you. I don't know why I'm getting so worked up. I shouldn't. I should control my emotions. But whatever's in me is going to come out. I got to tell you something right now. The death penalty is the greatest deterrent this society has left. And the last thing we need to do is let these left-wing wackos, like the Democrats, every last one of them, like Mayor Newsom, who has a city rolling in a homicide epidemic. And there is Gavin Newsom, a man overseeing a homicide epidemic, speaking at this Democrat National Convention as though all is well in his hometown. It is pathetic to listen to these people. But you got to look at their real records, not their rhetoric. Look at their records, not their rhetoric. Joe in San Francisco, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Mike, I just wanted to point out, I know you talk about the Bible sometimes, but, you know, one of the keyest things, I don't know, a lot of people might get it and might not. It says be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't say multiply and be fruitful. I mean, for crying out loud.
Or does it say be a fruit fly and multiply? It doesn't say any of those things. It doesn't say, I mean, you're not a Drosophila. It doesn't say be a fruit fly and multiply. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply, not be a fruit fly and multiply.
Savage.
It is 33 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all of the stories that you're going to want to read tonight. Hillary supporters circulating petition to nominate her for VP. More than half of Hillary backers still not sold on Obama. Savage autobiography is finally up there. Take a look at it. See what's in it. There are many other stories and pretty alarming ones, by the way. One is down on the left side, which is that an Iraqi billionaire is threatening reporters who are probing the Tony Resco relationship to Obama. And that came from Accuracy and Media. Why aren't the American media investigating the role of British billionaire businessman Nadmi Oshie in supplying loans to Barack Obama fundraiser Tony Resco? The answer is they're being threatened by an Iraqi billionaire. So if you don't think that there are subtexts going on here, you're mistaken. Now, the big story to me is why he picked an old smokestack hack like Biden. How could a man who promises change and hope project change and hope with an old smokestack politician like Biden, who has, frankly, tremendous numbers of skeletons in his past? He's not new. He's not fresh. He's not anything but an old line Democrat hack. And why he did this is amazing millions of people around America. I believe that Biden's career is going to hound him right to the election. And if you look at MichaelSavage.com, you'll see an amazingly, wonderfully written article, not by me, not by a right-wing blogger. It was written by the Associated Press writers Peter Yost and Holbrook Moore. And I was quite surprised by it because AP is extremely Democrat left-wing. We know that. And they went into donations to Biden's campaign. They went into many other relationships between Biden and his past. And the biggest one that's going to come and haunt them just on a verbal level is that when he called Obama clean, clean. I mean, what does he mean? He's clean for a what? And then he said customers cannot go into 7-Elevens unless they have a slight Indian accent. If you think these are humorous, fine. Yeah, free speech is wonderful. Try it in talk radio sometime. See how far you get with freedom of speech with the left-wing communists watching every word you say. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Biden has returned at least $7,500 in campaign contributions from the three men and their families. Which three men? Oh, really? There are three men involved? Well, look into who the three men are. Find out what is cryptic in his background. Find out what is suspicious in his background. And find out who Joe Biden really is as opposed to the media spin. But let's go back to the nun, who is not the flying nun. It's the sister, Helen Prejean, who is a radical left-winger. She wrote, I think, Dead Man Walking, yeah, the Sean Penn diatribe against reality. And she goes on and on. And now in clip 26, listen to this one.
Are we ready to follow Australia's example that formally apologized to the Aboriginal people, to our Native Americans, for the violence we have wreaked on them?
The last I checked, dummy, the last I checked, the Australians have not given the Aborigines gambling casinos as reparations, dummy. Oh, yeah, there was theft of Native American land. But then, if you check history long enough and go back 8,500 years, you'll find out that the Native Americans were not the first inhabitants of the North American continent. In fact, this is a huge story if you want to talk about it. The first inhabitants of the North American continent, according to the latest archaeology, were white men. And when that was discovered about 7 or 8 years ago, it sent such a shockwave through the left wing and the museum world that evidence was covered up. In fact, the Native American groups demanded demanded the skeleton of the white man, which was carbon dated to be older than the Native American skeletons that have been found. And I'm not talking about red either. So we've heard all of this before. Apologize to the Native American. Embrace dialogue with our enemies. Build a peace academy. Teach our children not to hit back. Mankind should not use the death penalty. Listen to clip 23 from this Democrat whack job.
Our country's almost DNA gene instinct is to kill the enemy as the only way to be secure. Here's a pattern. Target the enemy, dehumanize the enemy, kill the enemy. And if needed,
she is bad. Get her off the show. I tell you the truth. I'm glad she spoke today at the Democrat National Convention, because you liberals, if you actually believe the stuff she's saying, you are exactly who I talk about in liberalism as a mental disorder, because you're mentally deranged if you believe any of this rubbish in the real world. Take a look at what's going on around you, not only in the cities in which you live, but take a look around you in the world in which you live, and tell me that this rubbish, this left-wing peace talk, can give you any survival mechanisms. It'll give you death mechanisms. It will give you death, not life. It will not give you life, my friends. It will give you death, as sure as I'm sitting here. And if the Democrats want to continue to be the party of death, which is what they are, by the way, if you want to break it down into a simplistic fashion, I would say the Democrat Party is the party of death. Why do I say that? They're for abortion. They're against the death penalty. Now, how does that work? If you're for abortion, you're for killing the unborn, the innocent unborn. But if you're against the death penalty, you do not want to exterminate and kill those who have been given every chance for parole and for appeal and for this and for that, and have been found to be mass murderers or child rapists or even worse than that, if it could be any worse than that. And then they get the death penalty. And you want them walking the planet so they can rape and murder again? I've heard every argument before. And let me tell you something. The only thing a fiend really fears is death itself. He fears getting caught, and he fears being executed. He fears nothing else. No, it's not in America's DNA to kill and dehumanize the enemy. You're a liar, Sister Prejean. You are an atheist. You're probably a stone-hearted communist. And I can hear in your voice itself that you speak only to the left wing. But now that America sees who you are, they see something else emerging in the Democrats. They see that the rhetoric of this sister today and that of Reverend Wright is almost identical. And we see that Obama has carefully selected Reverend Wright in his church to project his views. And now he selected Sister Helen Prejean again to project his death-worshipping views in the guise of being for life and love. And so be careful, be very careful indeed. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. If you have any comments or questions on any of these topics, you could ring me. Or I have a question for you that's a little off the topic, and it's, again, personal for me because I'm so excited about the new book. Which cover do you like better, the yellow version? I have two different covers because I haven't gone to press yet. Please go to michaelsavage.com. I just got swamped. We couldn't even get on my own website. Tell me if you like the yellow letters or the white letters, and tell me what else you think of the cover before I rush to press. 1-800-449-8255. Andrea, Missouri, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thanks for all you do. When I heard
Thank
clip
you.
22 about the nun, what she said,
yes.
and the clip before that, the first
yes.
thing I thought of was Jeremiah Wright.
Yes, they're yes. one and the same, and they are the soul of Barack Obama. I can guarantee you that Barack Obama wants to have a dialogue with the Hitler of our time, and he will only laugh all the way to the nuclear arsenal. I can guarantee that Barack Hussein Obama would like to ban the death penalty, giving all of the mass murderers on death row another chance to go out and commit mass murders. I can guarantee you that Barack Hussein Obama is against everything American, and by the way, I'll repeat that, everything American, and he is for everything European socialist. Thank you for the call. Taylor, Mississippi. Bert, who's Dr. Lou? Dr. Lou, Dr. Lou, Dr. Lou, Dr. Lou, line 8. Dr. Lou, welcome. Who are you, Dr. Lou?
Mike, we lived four doors apart on Utopia Parkway.
You are Lou, my neighbor from Queens. How are you, Lou?
How you doing, Mike?
You know, Lou, you're not in the book.
What's in the book?
Huh?
What book?
Oh, you think I'm going to give you a chance to sue me?
Oh, come on, Mike. Ray, your mother and my mother lived together for a while.
I know. I haven't heard from you in how many, 40 years now?
It's got to be that. I was listening to the radio. I heard your voice, and I said, my God, I haven't heard him, and I've spoken to him in a long while.
What, you're telling me that by chance you heard my voice and you don't even listen to this show regularly on WOR in New York?
You know what? I listen to it occasionally, but I never put the two together in my mind because I would just...
Unbelievable to me. Now, you are a plastic surgeon, right, Lou?
That's right.
I remember you struggled very hard, and you became a surgeon. How's everything? You doing good?
I'm semi-retired. I was involved in a major car accident, but not important. How are you, and how is everyone with your
family? Well, I'm doing great. I'm on the radio on almost 400 stations, and I put out my new book today, Psychological Nudity, The Savage Autobiography. Lou, you're not in it. But, Lou, I'll tell you what. Stay on the line. I'm going to send you a free copy when it comes out. Get Lou's current address for the Savage Nation. But it gets worse, folks. If you think the Democrats are the party of life, you're mistaken. They're the party of death. And in order to prove my hypothesis, I will play a few other selected sound bites from these crazy people. Because they are getting worse and worse by the second. I want you to listen to the one that I played a little earlier, and I want you to try to deconstruct what this woman happens to say. Where is the one where she said, clip 22, you're not going to believe this. Play this.
Overwhelmingly, the punishment of death is meted out to those, 8 out of every 10, it's because who kill white people. It's the death of white people that causes outrage in this country. 32 years of experience shows who really gets the punishment for whose death. Rarely.
Wait a minute. Who really commits the crime, sister? If you actually looked at the data, sister, you'd find out that the white people are being killed in a higher rate proportion to their population than are the people of color who seem to be doing the killing of the white people, sister. Why don't you look at the data? I don't know that you studied that in the nunnery. But you really ought to look into the data, sister. You may find out that what you're saying is total rubbish, racist to the core, and frankly, very dangerous, Sister Pregene. You are a clear and present danger to the survival not only of the American people, but of the Democrat Party itself. So I would like to hear more from Sister Pregene. Listen to 24.
What kind of father would demand the death of a son? Is this a god? Or is it an ogre? Is it a monster created by our own violent impulses? We project, so this is God who wants vengeance like we want vengeance. They're contradictory images of God in the Bible. On which one will we model our lives?
Why doesn't she give this sermon to the Hitler of our time who would like to wipe out Israel and destroy America? Why doesn't she stop wasting her words on America and start preaching this, for example, in Iran. Why didn't she take her robe, her holy robe, and fly on a broom, a witch's broom, to Tehran and see the kind of reception she'd be given by Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time? Let's see if she can lecture him about the peace and love that's in her heart. And then if she's through there, she can get on her little broomstick, the sister who spoke today at the DNC, and she could fly off to, let us say, North Korea, where the people are starving to death, and give a lecture to Kim Jong-il. Then she could get on her little broomstick and she could fly to Syria. Perhaps she could fly even to Beijing and lecture the nice little men in China who are executing political prisoners and taking their kidneys. And then, Sister Prejean, I'll believe a word you say. But you, like all of the leftists, are not only liars, but you're cowards. You are cowards through the core of your DNA itself. Because what you do is you shoot out these lies in a country where it's safe to do so, and you have nothing evil to say to the true evil. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Blessed are the nations who care for their children and instill in their hearts love, courage, and education. O Lord, unite our generation by the common bond of morality and basic needs.
Our country's almost DNA gene instinct is to kill the enemy as the only way to be secure. Here's a pattern. Target the enemy, dehumanize the enemy, kill the enemy. And if needed, torture the enemy, since he is not human like we are anyway. The death penalty, far from being a peripheral moral issue, reveals the very soul of America. It lays bare our deepest wounds as a nation. Our racism, our assault on poor people, and our ready instinct to use violence to solve social problems.
Well, I guess if each of them was made a CEO of a company, you take a murderer on death row, and make him the CEO of a, you know, any individual's company, preferably a white male who built it himself, and then give him the white male's house and his car and his wife, I guess the man on death row might become a new man. I suppose that could work, actually, now that I think about it. I really didn't think it through. That would be a way to solve social problems, is give people on death row what's not theirs. Let him have the wife, the car, the house, and the business of the man he hates. And then, of course, he would become a new man. He'd have all love in his heart. You know, I didn't think this through. Sister Helen Prejean, you really are a brilliant, brilliant social theorist. I'm sorry for not thinking this through. Let's see what else this genius had to say. She says that we kill or dehumanize our enemy. Now, let's see what the world would have been if this idiot had lectured our troops before the Battle of the Bulge. If this psychopath who spoke today at the DNC, and the reason I'm going on is because she does represent the soul of the Democrat Party. Make no mistake about it. It's been said before. The Democrat Party is the minority party. There is no question about it. Obama is a minority, a half minority at least. The membership is made up largely of minority blocks, the Hispanic caucus and the gay caucus, caucuses that are all against the white person. So the Democrat Party is the minority party, and it is trying to pose as a centrist party, trying to win over the white male voter. And make no mistake about it, the white male controls this election, primarily because white people still make up about 65-66% of the population, and they're all going after the white voter. Now, the white women generally are not as hard-nosed about things as the white male, and so many white women don't even understand that they're being duped, and they vote for a Democrat, not knowing that they're digging their own grave. But now they're going after the working-class white male who is traditionally leery of the Sister Helen Prejean's, the gay lobby, the caucuses and the other lobbies that are trying to take away his child's birthright. Yes, he is aware of the fact that the Democrat Party wants to continue these programs, which say to him, if you have a daughter who excels in school as a white man and your daughter, even though you're a working class guy, gets straight A's in high school. She will not get into the best colleges. She will go to a second tier college, and those positions will be reserved for minorities because of affirmative action. The white male knows this, and he's not willing to sacrifice his child's future for the sake of political correctness to the extent that the white woman might be willing to do so. And that's why it's very important for us to play the Sister Helen Prejean's and the others to show you what really is the undertow, or shall I say the psyche, the inner psyche of the left-wing party. San Francisco, Lynn, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I wanted to tell you about these Roman Catholic nuns. I used to work for them. I worked with them and for them for 5 years. They're the epitome of the mad-faced, clipped-haired women I hear you talk about. They're involved in donate money to the MoveOn.org. They visit the prisoners on death row as a group. They protest the death penalty. They hire illegals. They ignore the feds when they have notices about it. They don't believe in
the court. You know, the few nuns I've met I thought were saintly. I can't speak about, you know, the majority of them, Lynn. I was in the hospital recently, and I saw a lovely sister in the hospital on a Sunday, you know, going to someone's bed. I don't know who it was, and I took all the money I had in my pocket, and I forced her to take it. I begged her to take it from me because I thought she was a blessed creature. She looked like an angel to me. In fact, I saw something floating above her head. I thought she was an angel. So I don't want to generalize about nuns. Maybe you were in a convent.
Yeah, in a convent, and I work
convent.
Right there at the organization.
Lynn, I'm sorry to hear it, but, you know, in all religions and all groups, there are people who are liberals and conservatives. But by and large, I have to ask you a question, Lynn. If God were down here, would he vote for a conservative or a liberal? If you analyze that, you'd find out that God is a conservative because all of the Ten Commandments are conservative commandments. Not one of them is adhered to by a liberal. Every one of them is gotten around by the liberal. You just analyze them. Thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say thou shalt not murder, does it? Look at the difference between the two words, my friends.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A modest upbringing as someone that born to a single mother and raised with the help of his grandmother instilled in him the values of family, faith, hard work, and dedication. He knows we need a change because the last 8 years have not been good for us.
Are we ready to follow Australia's example that formally apologized to the Aboriginal people, to our Native Americans, for the violence we have wreaked on them, the lands we have stolen from them, and herding them onto reservations, and our blatant noncompliance with our own treaties? Are we ready to apologize to them?
This is just what the doctor ordered in the age of Islamofascism, is more left-wing, atheistic, communistic rubbish being heard today in Denver at the Democrat National Convention. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I am Michael Savage. I'm here to enlighten you to the heart and soul of the Democrat Party. I am very excited to educate you as to what really it is all about. I live in the most beautiful city in America, San Francisco. that has been stolen from the true builders of this city by a left-wing activism unseen ever in the history of America. And we right now have a homicide epidemic. We have garbage in the streets that is not clean, that is not being cleaned up. We have bums on the streets that are proliferated like viruses. We have social problems that have metastasized owing to the San Francisco mayor, Gavin Newsom, who was there congratulating himself for the garbage, the bums, and the homicides that are being committed in his city. What he has done in San Francisco is what will be done throughout America. And I am playing for you him. I'm playing for you. The last one was this Rep. Joe Baca, California, the Congressional Hispanic Congress. I don't know why there's no Congressional European White Congress. I don't know why there's no Congressional White Male Congress of the DNC, if there's a Congressional Black Caucus, if there's a Congressional Hispanic Caucus, if there's a Congressional Gay Caucus. I still don't understand why there's no caucus speaking for the majority of the American people who seem to be ignored not only by the Democrats but by the Republicans themselves. You want to get down and dirty? You want to talk about racism? Well, you're listening to racism every time you listen to someone speaking from one of these caucuses, every time you listen to the sister pre-gene telling us we're a racist nation for executing homicidal maniacs, murderers, rapists, and genocidal killers. We are the bad guy, not them. Now, she tells us that we should apologize to the Native American for having stolen the lands from the Native American. Well, on the face of it, nobody would argue with that. I apologize. Of course, I didn't steal any land from the Native American. But I would argue that the Aborigine in Australia has not been given a gambling casino as reparations. I would argue that the Native American tribes who have gambling casinos here have been doing very, very well indeed. In fact, none of them are complaining. The only people who are complaining are the far-left radicals like those speaking at the Democrat convention today. So you must hear who the heart and soul of the Democrat Party is. You got to hear them to understand who Barack Obama is. Not one of the people speaking today that I'm playing for you thus far would be heard did they not reflect the heart and soul of Barack Hussein Obama, which we all know what it is. We've heard Reverend Wright. That gave him away. Make no mistake about it. That's who he is. That's who they are. It's a minority party. It is an anti. It is the death of the way of life that I have worked for all of my life. You want me to make it any more clear for you? I'll give you another example. Nancy Pelosi, who prides herself on being a progressive Democrat, is working around the clock to control freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of the internet. She wants to pass what she calls the fairness doctrine, which means that she put me out of business, she thinks. Legally, she could not do this. I would take it to the Supreme Court with the Savage Legal Defense Fund money that will still be coming in, and I will apply it to that because I'll be fighting not for me. I'll be fighting for people who are existing today in radio, existing tomorrow in radio, and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. I will fight Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats with the last penny that I have because they cannot selectively limit what is spoken on the radio. They also want to do it on the internet. How can they achieve this? What country do you want to live in? A country of censorship and fascism? Because that's who the Democrats are. Make no mistake about it. They want to eliminate the death penalty. We all know that the death penalty is the greatest deterrent ever created, and that America was a far safer place when the death penalty was judiciously applied in a very short period of time through a speedy trial and a speedy appeal in the 1950s. My mother could walk to the corner to Deitch Dairy on Union Turnpike, and she could buy a loaf of bread virtually any time of the day or night, dusk, dawn. It didn't matter. She was a great walker, Mama Savage, and she'd go up there. She wasn't afraid of being raped or murdered. But she would be today because the fiends are in the streets. There were no epidemics of children being snatched off the streets when I was a kid because men would have beaten them to death if they got their hands on them with lead pipes. They would have taken them and beaten them to death, and the cops would have said, thank you for doing it, because we would have done it if we caught anyone molesting a child. We don't want to go before a judge. The judge also would have sent them to death right away. But today, because of liberalism, the kind of liberalism that Obama wants to proliferate throughout America, the rapists, the murderers will be running free and wild in the streets. Make no mistake about it. This is an election for the heart and soul of your life and for the heart and soul of America. That's what it's all about. You got to decide which direction you want to go in, whether you want to become more like Denmark or more like the America that your father and mother lived in. It's as simple as that. If you want junkies in the streets in every corner of America being supported by the government, you don't have to wait for the election because they're here already because of liberalism. Now, on a positive note, because I don't just want to be on a negative note today, I'm very proud to tell you that finally I have produced, after many, many months and many, many years of telling the stories on the air, the Savage autobiography, Psychological Nudity, and the picture can be seen on michaelsavage.com. I ask you again, if you're going to buy the book, you're not going to get it till about November 1st, even if you ordered it today. It's not even going to the printer. Take a look at this cover. Look at the contents. And I'm telling you, this is the book you've been waiting for because it's all the radio stories that I can't repeat over and over again, but it's every story that you've ever heard and stories you never heard, including political stories. And they're all there, and I don't want to read them to you again. I will later on. The one thing that's not up that's a little depressing to me is the back cover of the book, and there's a real surprise because I did something that I worked on for over a week that nobody in the history of publishing has ever done. Nobody. This is rare. It's unique. And that is on the back. You know how on the back of a book you usually see an author's picture on the back flap? You know, they show the author this and that. Well, since my picture is on the front cover with Teddy, and by the way, Teddy has already gotten a movie offer. I'm sure he'll get one and I won't. Because although liberals hate me, they can't help loving dogs because they know that cute dogs sell. So Teddy and I are on the front cover. But the back cover, instead of using a typical author photo, since I was in the hospital two Saturdays ago and had a CAT scan of my brain because of an eye injury, I took one of the panels of the CAT scan and put it up as the author picture. And since the book is called Psychological Nudity, I put a picture of a CAT scan in one of the sagittal sections of my brain, and I put the author's brain exposed on the back. You got to admit it's funny. I mean, it's a collector's item. It's going to be a collector's edition. I'm only going to do a short print run, a small print run, and I can guarantee you this book will be a collector's item. And I know many of you, look, I'm selling the soul already. Do you know that my first book, The Savage Nation, sold over 300,000 copies in hardcover? That's a fact the libs don't want you to know. Oh, by the way, Nancy Pelosi's last book, I think, sold 3,700 copies. 300,000 of you bought my first book. About another 300,000 or 400,000 bought the next three books. Yes, it was smaller in number. That's the way it usually works. I've sold nearly a million copies of my books to you, my audience, directly. I don't think I'm going to sell a million copies of this, but I can guarantee you anyone who's a Savage fan is going to want this book, and I do hope you'll order it. The reason I'm hammering it, I'm telling you the honest truth, is I don't know how many to print. I'm going to print 10,000. Would you believe it? I'm an extremely conservative man. I am the least business-oriented of my family. Luckily, I created a son who is a business genius. He has the guts of a lion. I guess that's because I took him in front of lion cages. Did I ever tell you that trick? You know, it's not in the book. If you have a son, can I give you a trick on how to raise a son, a little trick that I learned a long time ago when I lived in Hawaii? I knew so many interesting people. Wherever I live, I meet them. I gravitate to them. They gravitate to me. So I met a guy who was a martial artist, and we get to know each other. So he said to me, you know, Michael, a good way to raise a kid is the way you're doing it, but there's something you should do. I said, what's that? He said, take your son to the zoo. And stand him at, no, wait a minute. He told me to stand in front of the lion. And he said, let the lion come to the cage and roar at you till you feel its hot breath and the roar, which will shake your body. And he said, stand there until you don't flinch. I actually did this. I can't say I never flinched because the hot breath and the teeth and the roar will shake, make your body shake. But I thought that was such a great idea that I took my poor little son to the zoo. I guess that would be considered child abuse today, to teach him how to be a man and stand up to someone yelling at him. I guess the sissies of today would have you teach him Sister Pregene's method of raising a child, which is, don't hit back, don't hit back, learn how to be a sissy, put on your mama's shoes and wig, don't hit back. So I put him in front of the lion, and this kid learned to stand there. First, of course, he flinched. You know, it was like, whoa. I took his shoulders and I held him. I said, it'll be okay. He's behind the cage. It's all a game here. Don't worry about it. He can't hurt you. But I got him to understand to never fear a man who just yells at him. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not a bad trick. It's really good. It's not in Psychological Nudity, but there it is. I just shared you with it. I shared another story. Maybe that'll be Psychological Nudity Volume 2. I'm already working on it. But I have a quick question for you. On my website, I have the white letter version and the yellow letter version. And I have a caller telling me which version she prefers Which version she prefers. Edith in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Which version do you prefer? The yellow lettering of psychological nudity or the white?
Definitely the white.
Why?
Definitely the white. Because yellow adds another whole other element to it. Definitely the white. Keeps it black and white. Makes it just...
Originally it was yellow, and I said yellow's a negative color. It also clashes with my orange shirt, and it clashes with... something else in the cover, and the white on the black and tan and the gray, I think works cleaner. Looks cleaner, Edith.
Absolutely.
Edith, are you a graphic designer?
I kind of dabble in stuff. I kind of make cards and stuff like that on my computer, and I do stuff like that, and you know, I color coordinate things. And certain things are certain colors are appropriate for certain things. And I think it's
so,
psychological.
So you like the color of white psychological nudity? Do you like the title Psychological Nudity?
Yes, I do.
I had many different titles. One was going to be Savage Stories. Then I said, that's not unique. I said, Psychological Nudity is it, because I've used it on the radio for 15 years.
Time, yeah. So
all right, Edith, God bless you. Thanks for calling. We're up against the clock. It's a real radio show heard throughout America, 19 minutes after the hour. You know that, honest to God, give me a digression here a minute. I told you I'm a big television watcher. I started out in life as a big TV watcher. Then for years, I wouldn't have a TV in the house with the kids. I was against TV. Now that I'm older and I watch TV again. I got to admit, I like movies at night. It's very relaxing to lock the door, bar the door, load the shotgun, load the vodka glass, get the, you know, guard dogs, and put on the movies. And I'm a movie fanatic. So last night, I hit the Quinilla. It was Jodie Foster in a 1997 movie. I think the Brave one. She plays a talk show host in New York City who has a fiancé, a good-looking guy. They're walking in Central Park with the dog. They get mugged by some really bad characters, the type that Sister Pre-Jean would have been friendly with. And the boyfriend gets killed in front of her eyes. She gets beaten up and raped. And Jodie Foster, the character, becomes she goes around with a gun, whatever you call it. Huh? Vigilante. It's a takeoff on early. Remember the Vigilante movies of the 70s? Who played that guy? Does anybody remember him? He was great. Charles Bronson. She's a female. So she goes and buys a 9mm, and she goes starts randomly killing bad guys in New York City. I said, wow. Then in one scene, she's in the radio studio, and she's trying to get back on the air after this terrible tragedy occurred, and she can't speak. She speaks for 30 seconds. She goes dead on the air for a minute. And her program director is played by a woman who says, look, how long do you want me to do this for you? I can't hold this show. People are going to, you know, stop listening to this radio show. And I said, you know, this is not badly done. Someone knew radio who wrote this script. And that's it. And I'll be back.
Savage.
Overwhelmingly, the punishment of death is meted out to those 8 out of every 10. It's because who kill white people. It's the death of white people that causes outrage in this country. 32 years of experience shows who really gets the punishment for whose death. Rarely.
Who killed Shut up. I don't care that you wear a cloak and you say you're religious. You are a clear and present bimbo as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, I'm glad you're speaking at the Democrat National Convention, but you are really showing the American people what's at stake in this election. For this woman to say that the death of white people isn't worthy, is that what she's implying? That the death of white people shouldn't make us want to seek the death penalty for the perpetrator, whether they be white or a person of color? Look, liberalism is a mental disorder. You know that. But here they are about to seize the keys to the most beautiful nation God has ever seen on the planet of the earth. They're about to seize the keys and drive this car off the cliff. And you've got a choice ahead of you. Now, I'm not a Republican. I've told you that for years. I have been an independent. I carved that out long before others in the radio pretended that they were. Good luck to them. I'm glad that they joined the train, too, too. But when it comes down to a time like this, and I see these dangerous, atheist, anti-white whack jobs, most of whom are white, by the way, classic white Marxist, Leninist, psychopaths who would dig their own graves for the sake of their agenda. I know which way I have to go, and it's not their way.
Savage.
We are deconstructing the Democrat National Convention on the Savage Nation, and I guarantee you that what you're hearing on the show today is very important to your survival. And it's very important for you to understand the subtext of the BS imagery, the balloons and the flags. Underneath it all is a very dangerous group of people. Make no mistake about it. There are clear and present dangers to the survival of this country, far worse than the Republicans. You want to put it to you that way? The lesser of two evils. Let's put it in that way. These people, the Republicans, as inept as they are, don't worry me, truthfully. But these people scare me to death because I think that they will kill freedom in this country as sure as Joseph Stalin did. Oh, they'll do it with a smile. They won't do it in the same way that Joseph Stalin did it. But make no mistake about it. Barack Hussein Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and this other band, they are Stalinists. Some call them Leninists, Marxists. It doesn't really matter. All you've got to do is study the communist revolution in Russia to understand what I'm talking about. 1-800-449-8255. Again, I'm very excited today. I'm trying to mix the DNC with my book. And some of the stories in here will make you laugh and some will make you cry. I mean, you'll laugh when you read The Fly and the Tuna Fish. Many of you have heard that story. You'll laugh when you hear about the Coney Island wax figures. You'll laugh or you'll cry or you'll do both when you hear the half man, half woman in Long Beach story. You might cry when you hear about Tippy, my dog, dying and being thrown into a garbage truck, really, when you read it in my book, Psychological Nudity. But I can guarantee you, when you hear Louie and his crazed monkey right now in the Savage Nation, you're going to want to go to michaelsavage.com and buy all 75 stories. Go ahead, please. That reminds me, the monkey's going crazy. You know, many people, everything they turn into cute. Everything's cute. A bear is cute. A monkey's cute. You know, this is such liberal stupidity. Monkeys are dangerous with big teeth. So it reminds me of Louie and the monkey story, which I told once at most in my tenure on radio. We go back now, ladies and gentlemen, put on your resting cap. We're going to go back in time. We're going back to the Lower East Side of New York. Dad owns a small antiques mart. Little old Michael's cleaning bronzes in the back, and there's Louie the bum from the Bowery, who in those days, he was a drunk. He wasn't a bum. He worked. Dad would have him in on the weekends, and he'd clean the bronzes and whatever he did down there. I loved Louie. Louie was a great guy. But now you got to understand, this guy was a stoned alcoholic of the old school. Skinny like a rail. White guy, skinny like a rail, smoked like unfiltered cigarettes. But one of the nicest guys on earth. He wears the rubber apron. He's cleaning downstairs, does the bronzes. Then, of course, I took over because Dad wanted cheap child labor, and where else are you going to get it from his son, you know? So I'm doing the thing. So I got to know Louie over the years, and he taught me various things. Like once we had Louie over to the house. I'll never forget it. I was so proud that my father took this guy who I liked all the way out to Queens and invited him to dinner. I don't know what came over. Maybe it was Thanksgiving or whatever. And Louie had dinner with us at the table, and the guy was surprisingly erudite, and he knew things. And like after dinner, we did games, and Louie the drunk showed me how to bend nails. He showed me mind over matter. He took a nail and he showed me that if you put your fingers, blah, 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 and put your mind on it and keep up the pressure, the nail would bend. I was shocked because I was a skinny kid with little hands, and I bent the nail. And he taught me mind over matter, but it was all molecular because you put the heat and the pressure, blah, 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 eventually that nail is going to bend. But I learned in life it's the same thing. It's all willpower, okay? Now there's another element to the story. So Louie is this kind of guy, interesting, but an alcoholic, and this and that. Years go by. He lives alone in Williamsburg. In those days, Williamsburg was like a slum, zero, you know, oilcloth city, leftover apartments from the last century. No one wanted to be there but the poor. So he lives there alone. He's very lonely. He gets a monkey. He wants a monkey. Now, out of the world, nobody in those days had a monkey. Dogs, yes. Cats, yes. No. Who had a monkey in those days? Louie gets a monkey. But Louie don't just get a spider monkey, one of the skinny little monkeys. Louie gets a woolly monkey. Now, woolly monkeys are already strong. They got a chest on them. They got strong hands. And Louie's in love with this monkey. For a couple of months, they're inseparable. Wherever he goes, there's the monkey. And the monkey's on his shoulder and where he's cleaning and he's happy. Now, Louie was the kind of guy that if he went to a bar in the Lower East Side, I remember the name to this day, named Hamill and Corn, whatever money he made from my father, he'd take 2 minutes later, he'd be in the bar, and he'd throw money in a jukebox, and he would whistle and sing, and he'd buy everyone drinks till he was broke. He'd stumble out in the street. He would get hit by a car, sleep on a barrel. He didn't care. Live for the booze, and that was it, but he had a heart of gold. So Louis gets the monkey, finally has someone to fill his empty nights, and as I say, they were inseparable. Well, as time went on, we get a call. Louis's in the hospital. He's dying. What? The monkey went crazy in his apartment, attacked him, and almost ripped him to pieces. And he suffered for 6 months in the hospital. I don't know which hospital. Probably Bellevue, because that's where they all wound up. And the monkey went at him. And you don't know what a monkey's like when it goes crazy. You try to stop an enraged monkey without a weapon. He ripped his neck. He ripped his face. He ripped his arms. He ripped his leg. He ripped his crotch. He ripped his behind. Louis was ripped up pretty bad, and eventually he took the monkey. I think he grabbed it and threw it out of the window. It just shows you, if he hadn't have done it, he'd be dead today, okay? But a liberal today probably would have tried to talk to the monkey. Louis knew that the instincts had to kick in. It was him or the monkey, and he decided it was better him than the monkey. He didn't consult a liberal book on how to deal with a crazed monkey. He just fought with it and killed it. I think that's what the bottom line is here. But the point is that even a lonely drunk needs companionship at night. In his case, he found the monkey. It was probably the right thing for him to do. But it goes back to the story I opened with, which is that the monkeys are rampaging in India. And the rogue monkeys are breaking into houses.
We got the drift. Thank you very much. But there's a lot of politics in every story, as you well know. You know, even though this is not a political book. But you could see how it relates. His instincts kicked in. He threw the monkey out the window. Now, of course, Sister Progene and Nancy Pelosi would tell us to reason with the monkey. This is while the monkey's clawing and ripping our eyes out. We should sit down and go to a peace academy with a crazed monkey. Now, there's a crazed monkey in Iran named Ahmadinejad. He's a totally crazed monkey. Are you telling me you want to sit down and talk to a crazed monkey who wants to rip your heart out? If so, I would say that you really are psychologically damaged goods. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. You could see why I'm known as America's favorite storyteller. Because not only am I the best storyteller in America, but my stories are original, and they also have a political point to them. There are so many others. There are 75. You've got to forgive me for talking about my book. I don't know how else to do it other than to be proud of my own work. This is my life's work. It may be my last book. I hope it isn't. But truthfully, I don't have anything left to write about. You know, I got to tell you something else. Let's talk in general now. It's August 25th, 2008, the Democrat convention now, Republicans next week, then on to the election. There's going to be 100 books coming out, political books. Some will do well. Some will be fall by the wayside. I could have done a political book just in time for the election. I didn't want to do a political book. I wanted to take a 2-year break from writing, which I did. And I wanted to put out my book of stories because it's really the essence of Michael Savage. And if God, you know, God willing, if I'm here next year, which I hope to be, but no one knows tomorrow, I might do a political book next year when you're ready for one. But right now, I think you're ready for a book of stories that has a political orientation. All right, that's enough for that right now. I thank you for indulging me. New York City, WOR, Edward, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Well, it's very simple, Mike. The lettering should be white. And this goes back to your childhood cowboy hat story, as I recall, and I think you got the black one.
Oh, my God. How do people remember these things? I told that story once in 15 years. It's not in the book, Edward. When I can't believe this. You're giving me volume 2 already. Guys, record this. Edward, this is a story from, I'll never forget as long as I live. My father worked 7 days a week. We were poor. But I wanted to go to see the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. So everyone guilt-tripped my father, and he had to close the store on a Sunday and take his kid to the circus, right? So he took me there, and he his mind was on making a living, but he had to take his son to the circus. So naturally, it's a father and a son at the circus. What does a kid want? He wants popcorn, he wants peanuts, and this and that. And then I wanted a cowboy hat. So I said to my father, Dad, to this day, I can smell the hat. It was made of felt. I said, Dad, please buy me a cowboy hat. All right, so I wanted the white hat. He bought me a black hat. How did you remember that?
I wear a cowboy hat every day in this Jersey city of mine, and all I ever hear is, oh, you should get a black one. And, Mike, you know what that hat means to me, and you know what that color means.
Right. The black hat is the villain, and the white hat is the hero. How much simpler does it get than that? I don't know why he made me wear a black hat.
That's the way life
is. Ah, there you go. Again, it's the Abraham and Isaac story all over again. All right. I love this. Edward, how long have you been listening to my show? How many years?
Oh, I got to say at least 8 to 10 years, Mike.
Are you saying regularly, irregularly, fanatically?
As much as possible. It was very hard getting you out here for a while when you were on OR. There was a lot of interference in the stations. I tend to listen to you over the Internet, I must admit, because I get much clearer reception.
Well, thank God OR has a 50,000-watt signal that just is a fire thrower, a flamethrower out of New York. But, Edward, thank you for reminding me of that story. Here it is, Volume 2 already starting. All right, let's go back to the Democrats and the Republicans and the this and the that. RKO, Kevin, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike.
Kevin.
You know, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today, Kevin?
Mike, I just wanted to hear what you were, you know, I keep watching the news, you know, CNN, and all they're talking about is the Democratic National Convention and who's picking for a running mate and stuff like that. And I just think that there's more important news out there, like, you know, Russia and Georgia. And, you know, I just wanted to hear you chime in on it and
Kevin, let's talk about Russia and Georgia. Now, let's take a look at an aggressive act of this kind and ask ourselves what the proper response should be. Should it be that of Sister Prejean, who wants to build a peace academy and teach our children nonviolent conflict resolution? Is that what you think the children of America need to be taught, Kevin?
No.
Now, let me ask you, you sound like an Irish guy from Boston. Is that correct?
My name is Irish, but I'm actually French-Canadian.
Okay, but did you grow up in Boston?
I'm about 10 miles outside of Boston. I work in Boston every single day.
Now, when you were a child, were you able to embrace dialogue with your adversaries if someone came to punch you in the nose?
Sometimes, yes, and then sometimes we just got right down to business.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think that if you had gone to a peace academy, Boston would have been more peaceful?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think the prisons are sort of like peace academies. And when I watch Lockup at night on some channels, I'll tell you the truth. If I hear next from the Democrats that we should have no bars in our prisons and that we should next after the death penalty is eliminated under Barack Obama, we should eliminate bars in prisons. Why don't we eliminate bars in zoos, Kevin? Because the animals don't deserve to be locked up. Why not let the lions and the tigers roam the streets of Boston, for example? And then we could communicate with the animals through one of the whack jobs at the Democrat convention. I'll be right back. Savage. It is 52 minutes after the hour. You know, look, these conventions are the same every year. It's all rubbish. It's just basically a bunch of little apparatchiks from around the country who are putting out, you know, buttons and campaigns and ring bells, and they get to go to the drunken night and maybe rub shoulders with a bigger, apparatchik. You know, if I were on satellite radio instead of on family AM radio, I would be interviewing the hookers of Denver right now to give you a true flavor of what the convention is all about. That would be a great radio segment, the Hookers of Denver. I mean, then you get a real flavor for what these conventions are all about. But since this is a family-oriented show, I will not be doing the Hookers of Denver. Instead, I'm doing, well, maybe we are doing the Hookers of Denver by listening to the lead speakers, when you think about it. At least the prostitutes who charge directly for their services are providing a service for their for the pay. While these other people are pretending to be sanctimonious, I will tell you the truth. I would take the former rather than the latter. I mean, when you think about it, at least those ladies of the night provide something for the money. These other people just want to take your money and give you nothing. They just want to take more money. They want to take your money and use it to figure out how to get more money from you. There's a new ad out, by the way, that's pretty good. McCain is finally getting in gear, and this is the new ad in clip one.
I'm a proud Hillary Clinton Democrat. She had the experience and judgment to be president. Now, in a first for me, I'm supporting a Republican, John McCain. I respect his maverick and independent streak. And now he's the one with the experience and judgment. A lot of Democrats will vote McCain. It's okay, really.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
It's a joke. You know, you got to laugh at this at a certain point. It's okay. Really, John McCain, he's a maverick. He's a maverick. What's a maverick? What do they mean maverick? It's such a made-up thing. How can a senator be a maverick? If he was a maverick, he never would have become a senator, even a talk show host. I'm a maverick. This is what a maverick is. This is what a maverick sounds like, me. I'm the maverick. He's no maverick. He's a senator, for God's sakes. If you're a maverick, you last about 3 seconds in the U.S. Senate. In fact, I don't want a maverick as a senator. I don't want a Mustang as a senator. I want a nice, staid, reliable party guy who I know is not going to, you know, press the wrong button at the wrong time and set the world afire. That's all. This is the Savage Nation, and I could keep playing Sister Helen Prejean until I'm blue in the face, but I'm not going to do that. I could read you Biden's voting record. Leave the poor guy alone. We'll wait a few days for that one. The news is interesting out there unto itself. Or we could talk about other things. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Do visit michaelsavage.com tonight and see if you want to order Psychological Nudity. I guarantee you're not going to be disappointed. That I can guarantee you. I hope I know Louis the Monkey's story is in there, but as I heard it, I hope I didn't edit out all of the good stuff. I don't know if it's as good as that in the book. I hope it is. Chicago, Claire on WIND. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, Pelosi is telling the country and Catholic voters that the Catholic Church has never decided exactly when life begins. 70 A.D. was the first written document that we know of, and they've been consistent ever since. Will anyone call her on this?
In 70 A.D., the Catholic Church wrote what about the origin of life?
They wrote that life is to be protected.
Well, I understand, but the Pelosi crowd would argue that there's no life until birth, that growing fetus has no life at all. It's just a mass of tissue. Now, we all know that's a lie because we've seen with particularly today's technology, we've seen the poor little growing fetus virtually almost talking inside in the womb. We know that life begins at the moment of procreation. We all know that, Claire.
Well, but she has said that the Catholic Church doesn't know that. And that's what the point is, that the Catholic Church does know that, and she's gotten away with saying that the Church is indecisive about that.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is a politician. She uses her Catholicism as a weapon. We understand that. And it's up to the real Catholics of America to call her on it. And I think that if you analyze the Catholic Church today, unfortunately, you'll find that they're far to the left of the average Catholic. When you see that Cardinal Mahoney, and then there's a bishop in Boston who wants to do things that stand in opposition to the American people, you understand that the Catholic Church is far to the left of the Catholic in the church. I that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I got a backache already from that one. I got lower back kidney pain from that. Thinking about that is terrible. The whole idea of when does life begin? My God, why do I have kidney pain? Who's up there? Who's that apparatchik now? Oh, that guy Rendell from. No. I'm looking at CNN. I see this guy Rendell from CNN talking to some stooge with a girl's hairdo. Another pressing buttons. Even as a kid, I never paid much attention to this. These conventions always look stupid to me. A bunch of drunks. In fact, when I was a kid, I remember some conventions came to New York. There were scandals that the Democrats not only used prostitutes, that's a given. I mean, you say Democratic convention, prostitute, what, are you shocked by that? What do you think they work so hard for the party? That's what they work for. You think they care who gets elected? They threw couches out of the window in one of the hotels near Times Square and killed people. They got so drunk. That's what used to go on, you know. Anything here that I see doesn't really shock me, but Obama shocks me, because how a fraud like this guy can get so far in a country is a product of the stupidity of the American people and the conspiracy of the American media. How such an invented candidate without any experience whatsoever could get this far is an example of the conspiracy of the media.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That gavel tomorrow, I will be receiving it on behalf of the children of America. You've heard me say that over and over again. And that everything we do, and we call that house to order, will be with the eye to what the impact is on our children and on America's future, which is our children's future.
Our country's almost DNA gene instinct is to kill the enemy as the only way to be secure. Here's a pattern. Target the enemy, dehumanize the enemy, kill the enemy. And if needed, torture the enemy, since he's not human like we are anyway.
There's the heart and soul of the Democrat Party. It is the party, not only the minority party, which unto itself is not a bad thing, but it is a left-wing minority party. That's the emphasis that I would like to emphasize on the Savage Nation. Well, again, we're tuning into the charade, the circus in Denver of the Democrat National Committee. We're waiting for Madam Pelosi to speak. I wonder if she'll speak about the censorship that she has in her heart. She'll be followed by Jimmy Carter, the man who opened the floodgates of Islamofascism. And then, of course, to top it all off, there'll be Ted Kennedy. Of course, everyone will cry and try to reinvent his history and his career as a far-left radical. But truthfully, I'm not going to let them get away with it. My job is to, as best I can, bring some modicum of reality to the political arena, because if there is no reality in the political arena, there's no point in having politics, is there? This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I am also announcing the publication of my autobiography through Stories called Psychological Nudity. We've been talking about that book and all of the stories that are in it, and you can go on to michaelsavage.com tonight at your leisure. You'll see that it contains the electric blue saddle stitch pants, the fly and the tuna. Oh, there are so many other stories. Symphony Sid growing up in the age of radio, the bungalow colony of Woodchuck Bill. Tippy dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. Tippy the dog would let people in, not out. That's how our immigration policy should be. You see, each story in its own way, although it isn't political, the book, it is political in a way. Because when I talk about Coney Island wax figures, I think you can pretty much, if you want, you can read politics into anything, I suppose. I guess that's how they see the Messiah in a raindrop. The chestnut man, one-armed Frank, Louie and his monkey, cleaning bronzes in the basement, end-of-day glass, the Nympho story. That's a good story, the Nympho in Alley Pond Park. It's quite touching. It's not salacious at all. Love by the sewer plant is actually beautiful. First dead body, first autopsy, first mortgage. Killing mice in a laboratory is in there. When I left the scholarship fellowship and went broke because I wouldn't kill mice for a graduate fellowship and had to leave graduate school and go to another department because I wouldn't kill mice. White males need not apply. Working the system, the final straw, working on cruise lines. Are we all dead? Bonnie the Undertaker, the on man gets brain cancer. Republicans should treat voters like customers in a restaurant. The Islamists are winning. The bunking man-induced global warming. Let us see. Oh, there's so many other stories, 75 of them in Psychological Nudity. I don't know if, yeah, these all made it into the final book. Being Decent is Not Love, Talking to a Bum About God, No Assisted Living for Savage, Savage for President, and of course the Autism Storm will be there as an afterword for those of you who want to know what I really think about the issue rather than what the enemies have characterized my position to be. This is the Savage Nation. I'm asking one question The minute Madam Pelosi speaks, we'll break away right away to the convention. I have two versions of the jacket for my book up, one with white letters, one with yellow letters. I've asked you which you prefer because I'm only going to break it down to one at the end of the week. I have to print one cover, but I have a whole week to decide. Indianapolis, Karen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Which colors do you decide? Which color is the best?
You got to go with the yellow. Your suit just pops out, and I have to say Freddie's little coat that he's got on, it just the yellow just pops right out of that, too. And I also...
my dog's name is Teddy, not Freddie.
I'm sorry. I'm so nervous, Michael. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, sweetie. I'm not angry. You know, he actually has a friend in the neighborhood named Freddie, who's a three-legged dog who walks like he has four legs. And the dog's a little black dog. His size, his name is Freddy. And he comes over and they bark. The hard part for Freddy is to try to lift his leg and such, because he only has one leg to lift, so he can't do that. I'm sorry. That's terrible. It's terrible to say, but what happens when a male dog who continuously does this in a neighborhood loses one leg? It kind of reduces his persona. I got to tell you that.
Got to be sad. Hey, Michael, I think you also need to change the font of psychological nudity. You've got those, they've got to be an Arial or something so that they really pop out at you. Your name is nice and big, but I want to see psychological nudity fly at me from across the bookstore.
You know, you're right. But here's the thing. This, and I'm glad you mentioned it. This book will not be in the bookstore, perhaps not at all, but perhaps not until 2009 or late 08. This edition is only for my listeners on my website. You follow me?
Oh, well, but then I want it to look great on my...
Oh, hold on. Pelosi is talking. Let's go to Madam Pelosi now, the censor. Let's hear her. Oh, she's not up yet?
Hello, California.
Goodbye, Nancy.
Hello, Maryland.
Oh, God. What is she doing, a talk show? No wonder she wants me out of business. Oh, she thinks she's a talk show host. No wonder she wants a fairness doctrine.
Barack Obama and Joe Biden to be the next president and vice president of the United States.
God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Poo, poo, poo. God forbid.
This week is the culmination of an historic race that has brought millions of voters to the polls, many voting for the first time.
Well, sure, all the felons and the illegal aliens, thank God.
Hillary Clinton for her excellent campaign.
Yeah, right. She's real happy about it. Her and Bill are going to really lay down for you. Yeah, they're thrilled. They're just thrilled. They're so happy.
Our country has been strengthened by her candidacy.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you're all sisters. Right.
We meet today at a defining moment in our history. America stands at a crossroads.
Yes, it does. Whether it will go to censorship and left-wing activism as opposed to Americanism.
Of renewing opportunity and promoting innovation here at home and of greater security and respect throughout the world.
How? By breaking our weapons and breaking our military, greater strength abroad?
By bringing us together as one nation under God.
Oh, please. God, this is worse than a fifth-grade speech.
It leads to the same broken promises and failed policies.
Yeah, as Joe Biden has given for the last 500 years.
And the security of our nation. We call this convention to order tonight to put America on the path begun by our founders.
Oh, God!
His promise for a new century. We call this convention to order to nominate a new leader for our time.
Barack Obama, God! Our founders, they'd be rolling over in their grave at the thought of you with a gavel and this interloper running for the presidency. Our founders, they wouldn't dream of such an event.
2 years ago, the American people set our nation in a new direction by electing new Democratic majority.
Oh, nonsense. It was by the slimmest majority in history. The rest was done by illegal aliens being bussed into the polling booths.
Working with Majority Leader Harry Reid in the Senate, here are some of our accomplishments.
Oh, my God, a PowerPoint.
By Republicans, in our very first act, we passed the 9/11 Commission recommendations to protect the American people.
Yeah, and guess what? We're safer today than we were when you came to before power. Okay, fine.
The golf course for the survivors of Hurricane Katrina.
She's rebuilding a golf course? Where?
We put
what kind of grift is in that? What golf course is she rebuilding?
More than 130 million families. We passed legislation to keep hardworking American families in their homes and to keep toxic toys out of the hands of our children.
What an achievement.
We increased the minimum wage for the first time.
That's
in
very good.
Years.
It went up 10 cents an hour. That is terrific. I'm sure all the people working five jobs thank you for it.
We efficiency for the first time in 32 years. We passed the largest college aid expansion since the GI Bill passed.
So how come they're still complaining and bellyaching that they want more if you pass such a big bill?
We passed the largest veterans health care increase in funding in the 77-year history.
How come you just said that the Walter Reed Army Hospital is like a cesspool and a snake pit?
And we
how could you pass a bill and it's still a snake pit? Where'd the money go? Whose pockets did it go into? Wait a minute. Stop her for a minute. She just passed the biggest health for soldiers, right? Wait a minute. Excuse me. Then what are they still bellyaching that they still don't have adequate care? So let's hear more of this. This is great.
Our men and women in uniform for their courage, their patriotism, and the sacrifices they and
yeah, right, and still try to cut their heart out by saying the enemy is right and they're wrong. Go ahead. Every day tell them they're no good and then get up here and make believe you're a patriot. I love this.
The land of the free and the home of the brave.
What is wrong with these? Is this woman whacked out? Does she actually think someone believes a word? The land of the free and the home of the brave? This is beyond plagiarism.
The American dream for all Americans. But our journey to take our nation in new direction.
Oh, yeah, new directions. Yeah.
Without new leadership in the White House. Democrats.
You know, I've never heard anything as hackneyed. You know, I'm not even going to comment. It's so bad that I'm just going to let her talk. Go ahead, play it now.
Democrats stand for the change America needs.
Yeah, no death penalty, more affirmative action.
For President of the United States.
Yay! Let the balloons go. Let the red, white, and balloons go, Nancy.
Republicans,
you talk about uninspired.
Barack Obama.
Turn it off. I've had enough. That's enough already. You know, this woman could epitomize the uninspired by her uninspired speech. She could give the uninspired the hope that they too can speak one day. I've never heard anything like this. So there it is. Kansas, Dolores, go ahead. What do you think about Madam Pelosi's speech thus far?
Pure socialism, pure hypocritical. I'm just flabbergasted that anybody could actually spew that from a human's mouth with everybody listening, knowing that what is coming out of her mouth is.
But she doesn't mean a word she just said. She's anti-military, yet she says she salutes the troops. She's anti-freedom of speech. She wants to push the fairness doctrine, and she's talking about the founding fathers. The woman is an absolute mockery of her own self. Thanks for the call. What is the point of my making any more comments? You know what's going on here. It's all rubbish anyway. Most people in America aren't paying any attention to this. It's a media-driven thing, which is actually, in a way, why I timed the release of psychological nudity for this week. I thought we'd need something else to talk about. Now, you got to admit, my dog is the best-looking dog in America. And Teddy today could wind up, after this book is out, he could wind up being the best-looking, the most important dog in the world. And now that I think about it, I better get an insurance policy on him and pay very close attention to him. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Madam Pelosi's finished? Okay. Well, let's go back for a moment, in case you've just tuned into the Savage Nation, to the actual heart and soul of Barack Hussein Obama and what the Democrats really intend to do to us. And I'm going to play again one piece, a shorty, from Sister Helen Prejean, who wrote Dead Man Walking, because you've got to understand who this woman really is. Listen to clip 25.
Is it not time for us as a nation to be converted from our pursuit of violence to become a nation that embraces dialogue, diplomacy with our adversaries,
Are we ready to build a peace academy alongside our military academies? Wouldn't it be life-giving if every school child in America would learn nonviolent conflict resolution?
Yeah, they'd have a ring in their nose in about a year, and they'd be a slave of the Islamo-fascists if they learned that. And, of course, the brave men and women, mainly the brave men that Nancy Pelosi just referred to, are the boys raised by mothers who love America and send their sons to the military to protect America. And they understand the risks that they are taking by sending their boys off to the U.S. Marines or the U.S. Army or the Air Force. They understand that the absolute and maximum sacrifice might have to be made. They also understand that violence can only be met with violence, that violence, when it is met with peace and love, is truly the winner. The violent one will win, not the peaceful one. God has seen that from the beginning of time. We've all seen that from the beginning of time. We'd all like to beat swords into plowshares. We understand that. But that's hyperbole and rubbish, as anyone who has ever lived in the real world will tell you. The children who are taught not to hit back usually wind up at the bottom of the heap, not at the top of the heap. And the fact of the matter is, I think the world is a more dangerous place today than it has ever been. In fact, I could argue that it's more dangerous today than it has ever been. And in fact, I could argue that if we engage in dialogue with the Hitler of our time, that crazed monkey, Ahmadinejad, he, like Louis' monkey, will tear us to ribbons, and the only way to win will be to throw him out of a window. New York City, Yvette, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm really happy your book is coming out now. Just in time for me to get my financial planner the perfect birthday present.
No, I just want to caution you and everyone else. Even if you order it today, I haven't gone to the printer. I won't go to the printer next week. I'm anxious to see how many people want it before I order printing. You're not going to get it till about the end of October, early November. Is that okay with you?
It's worth waiting for. We love the political zoo. That was his other birthday present. Keep up
the good
work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 1-800-449-8255. Bernie in New York City on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, it's great to talk to you. I am a Catholic. I don't believe what Sister Helen has to say. I never did. And often I drive past your old high school on my way to work down at Jamaica Bus Terminal. I love what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Thank you, man. Right, the Catholics I know are, frankly, the opposite of this left-wing whack job who happens to be faking it in a nun's habit. The nuns I met are not like this Marxist in a nun's habit.
Savage.
Jalisco, Jalisco, to Tenes, to Novia, me Guadalajara. Muchacha bonita, la perlas más raja, en todo Jalisco es me Guadalajara.
Of course, that is Ted Kennedy a while ago in his prime. Right now we have the worst president in the history of America, the man who has single-handedly been responsible for the dissemination of Islamofascism around the globe, and that is the stealth communist Jimmy Carter, the anti-Semite Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater, the Israel hater Jimmy Carter, the Ahmadinejad lover, the Hitler lover, the Hitler of Iran, that is, Jimmy Carter, the same Jimmy Carter who by undermining the Shah of Iran, who was not a nice fellow, but he was living with an Islamofascist movement in his country, and he knew it. And he had to resort to very, very extreme measures in order to keep the Islamo-fascists under control. Jimmy Carter, you must remember, undermined the Shah of Iran, drove him into exile. And as a result, Ayatollah Khomeini came back from exile in Paris, came to Iran and destroyed the nation. And after that event, Islamo-fascism has proliferated around the globe. And for these Democrats to think that they can take this man, this evil man, Jimmy Carter, this racist evil man, and somehow rehabilitate him with videos and movies, and they think that they're going to fool people around America, they're absolutely right. They will. Because the American people can easily be fooled. They have been fooled before, and they will be fooled again.
Just turn your TV on and take a look at the fools talking to the fools, and you'll understand what it's all about. Take a look at the idiots wearing stupid hats and letting balloons fly in the air, thinking that their life has meaning because they're screaming in an audience with a bunch of drunks, and you'll understand what a pathetic nation this really is. But let me tell you something. The history of Jimmy Carter is not very pretty. The history of Jimmy Carter is very, very ugly. And I don't care how many hammers that man picks up, and I don't care how many houses he builds, Jimmy Carter is the most evil American in American history of this prominence. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. You can call me about Jimmy Carter if you wish. And you could refute what I just said to you and tell me that Jimmy Carter is not responsible for the proliferation of Islamofascism. If you can prove that, I'll send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Let's go to the callers, though. San Francisco, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation on KNEW. Welcome. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to go back to something that Nunn said earlier. She almost, it was a clip you played early in the program, and I haven't heard it since, but she went to explain that it's almost ungodly to be angry when we were made in the image of God. That
The nun, the Sister Helen Prejean, who wrote Dead Man Walking, a far-left socialist activist anarchist, when she said that God is an ogre or a monster, is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, she was saying that it was that we were angry. We should not be angry with these people and this and that when we are created in God's image. So if we can get angry, so can God. I mean, there's many stories in the Bible. You look at
Let's play clip 24. Listen to this woman and you'll see the wiring is crossed. Listen to 24.
What kind of father would demand the death of a son? Is this a god? Or is it an ogre? Is it a monster created by our own violent impulses?
Now, let's stop right here. So is she saying that the Bible itself is wrong and she's right?
That's what it sounds like to me. I guess
I want you to understand the megalomania of Democrats, where they're rewriting the Bible. Here's a woman who pretends to be a woman of God who's saying God is an ogre. What kind of nun is this? What kind of nun is this? She's more like a witch than a nun.
Basically.
Yes, thank you very much. So I think that we've touched on the raw nerve of what it is. Not only is it the minority party, the Democrat Party, but it's the party of witches as well, and that we well know. We've known that for years. And I would say be very careful before you're taken up with this nonsense called hope and change. How much more do you folks who are undecided need to see or know that the party that is pretending to be a party of hope and change would select a smokestack Democrat politician with many skeletons in his closet, and I don't mean red, although some of them may be red, I'm not sure, like Joe Biden for a vice president? Not only was this shocking, this was stupid. Why would he pick a smokestack era, backroom, cigar-chomping guy like Joe Biden when he is trying to project change and hope? Do you think that Joe Biden projects change and hope? I don't know for whom. We know what to expect with Joe. He's not an evil man. He's not a good man. He's a politician. Like all politicians, he's a pragmatist. But he certainly doesn't represent change and hope. Why would he have chosen him? Can you explain that to me? Because to me, it shows a campaign that's in disarray. To me, it shows a Barack Obama that's coming apart at the seams. The campaign is falling apart. The minute, McCain's campaign manager started to do what I've been suggesting for a long while, which is A, get tough, B, talk about his military career, and B, start attacking this fraud, that's when McCain's poll numbers started to go up. The day he stopped being a checked pants country club Republican is the day McCain started to rise in the polls. And the only way McCain could win is to become the man he is to go back to being that fighter pilot that he is, because a fighter pilot never dies, ever. Any man who has the guts and the brains to get into a combat jet and fly in combat is a different breed. A man from a different is a different breed of man. It's beyond anything any of us could understand. It takes a daring, a skill, a knowledge that the average man lacks. So he's a very exceptional man to begin with, having been a Marine aviator, which is, I think, wasn't he a Marine aviator? I'm not 100% sure. I think he was a Marine aviator. I know he's an aviator. Naval aviator, they're all Marines, aren't they? Forgive me if I'm wrong on that one. So the day McCain starts firing those 20-millimeter cannons and releases some of those rockets on the side of his jet and aims them at his opponent is the day he's going to win. He cannot back down. He cannot continue to go back. Rather, he can't go back to being the mealy-mouthed, check-pants, country club Republican. You understand that? Indiana, Ben, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Savage, just want to comment on Jimmy Carter. As a former Marine, I left the Marine Corps under Jimmy Carter. He has done so much, is so detrimental to this country for the past 25, 26 years. God only knows, and the people just will not open their eyes.
I don't know how they could wheel this guy out. You know, well, the fact is, Ben, this convention is very, very therapeutic because it's very telling. They bring out Sister Helen Prejean, Dead Man Walking, who talks against America, talks against white males, talks against the death penalty, talks against everything that is decent in this country. Then they bring out Jimmy Carter, who in fact is the godfather of the Barack Obama wing of the Democrat Party. Make no mistake about it, not all Democrats embrace Jimmy Carter, and not all Democrats are far to the left as Obama. But this is not the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy, is it, Ben?
There sure isn't. And I can relate to you when you talk about affirmative action. If it hadn't been for Jimmy Carter and the likes of Ted Kennedy, I would be either a retired law enforcement officer today or retired out of the Marine Corps. And
are you telling me that even though you're a former Marine, they wouldn't hire you in the police department you applied for?
Happened to me, San Bernardino. I was
yes.
a 5811.
Oh, sure. They had to make San Bernardino look more like Tijuana than it did like America. I understand that.
And so when I listen to you, when you talk about affirmative action, believe me, it hits.
Ben, let me tell you something. When I watch Cops at night or any of these police shows, the more I watch these shows and see the violence in these felons that the average cop has to embrace and contact, the more I am convinced that we need more and more former combat veterans in the police departments of America than anything else. We need guys who actually broke down doors and shot at the enemy in order to save us from the violence that's on the streets. God bless you, Ben. Thanks for the call to the Savage Nation. Jesse Jackson Jr. speaking now, another prize. Let's listen to him.
So it was at Appomattox. So it was in Selma, Alabama.
Again, we're going back to Appomattox and Selma? Oh, turn him off. That's it. I don't want to hear any more of this rubbish. Stop with the grievances already. I'm sick of it. Stop with the grievances already. There's a guy who's a U.S. congressman telling us that he has no chance in America. Now, don't you just love it? He's making believe that he himself is personally touched by slavery and personally unable to get ahead in the evil white racist America. Here he is, though, a powerful member of the United States Congress. But again, going on with the same rubbish right out of Animal Farm, that the white man is evil and he doesn't have a chance and only Barack Obama can save America. This is so frighteningly boring that I'm going to have to talk about something else. And that will be your calls. I'll let you take the show over right now. Again, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. I'm very excited and enthused, or else I wouldn't been able to get through the 3 hours of the show thus far, because I've been working on this book for my whole life. I mean, you think about the stories and published them, and here they are. It's out, the book, blah, blah, blah. I can't wait. New York City, Camille, welcome to the Savage Nation on WOR. What's on your mind today?
Michael, I think you're a great orator, but you were telling one story that really hit home with me, and I remembered exactly as you told it. I hope that's going to be in your book about when your aunts would come and visit your mom, and they would wear the cheap perfume with the fake furs, and they would have cake and coffee.
That yes. In fact, I talk about being a little child with the fox furs when I was a kid, with the fox faces. Look, you're talking about a kid 3 or 4 years old. And the aunts would come around with those fur coats the fox was in, fox coat, and the fox face scared the life out of me. I'd look up and I thought it was real with the teeth. Do you remember those coats?
I certainly do. I remember that exactly the way.
I remember when one of my, I think it was God rest us, so I don't remember which one, they'd hang the coat up or put it on the couch. The women would be in the kitchen moving the knife around, the serrated knife moving the coffee crumbs around, working out like tea leaves, the history of the world and the family. I would go to the fox face on the fur coat, and I'd stick my finger inside the teeth to see if it was alive. You know, kids don't know. I didn't know if the animal in that coat was alive. I would play with the coat. I'd take the head and I'd take the teeth and I'd quickly put my finger in it, pull it out.
And when the thing didn't bite me, that's when I realized that the fur coat was not alive. I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure that. I know the Fox story is in there, Camille.
Listen, Michael, I don't have a computer, and I so want to get your book. How do I go about doing that?
You know, I don't know. I don't have an answer yet. I'll have to think about that, how the folks can do that. But if you'll, later in the week, I'll work all these kinks. I figure there's a lot of good people out there who do not use the Internet, who have contributed, by the way, to the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund. And we have sent letters out about that and where the remaining funds will be going and things of that nature. And I guess we can do it somehow. I don't know how to do it right now. Alabama, Darren, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you for being who you are, because I remember when I was growing up, every Sunday, my uncles and my dad's brothers and all would get together every Sunday. And the kids would be playing, and I would get up close to them and listen to them. And they said the same things you are saying now. And I remember one of my uncles saying, one day we will never see it. I may never see it. But they will try to take our monies away and distribute it out to other people.
That's exactly what the Democrats are standing for. Affirmative action is stealing from one man what is his and giving it to another man who has not earned it. That's stealing your livelihood. It's stealing your birthstone. It's stealing your millstone. Affirmative action is stealing a man's birthright and his millstone. And that's what this party stands for. And I'll be darned if I'm going to stand here and say they're both equal. They're not equal. My life was seriously damaged by affirmative action. Although I recovered financially, I will never recover emotionally from what these devils did to me with affirmative action. I can guarantee you there are millions of white males across this country who have the same story to tell, but in a different way, a different accent, and in a different state. And that's what you're telling me. And Darren, there's another thing I want to say right now, because you provoked something in me. Although your accent from Alabama is totally different than me, Michael Savage, originally a New York boy, you can hear the New York in me. It's interesting to me how I resonate with you and you resonate with me. And I want to say something else, Darren. We are America, and these interlopers are not America. They are trying to steal this flag and steal this country, as far as I am concerned.
Well, Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you, because my dad and all my brothers, his brothers are gone. And I come out here every evening and sit on my glass in porch and listen to you. And I just want to thank you. And I'm going to get your book. And I just appreciate you being out there and telling everybody what's going on. Thank you so much.
God bless you, man. I tell you the truth, this kind of call, to me, makes the whole radio business worthwhile. I don't know how many times I have said to people on this show, what amazes me is how gentlemen, men, just say men. I don't like the word gentleman. I don't know what the word means. Okay, truthfully, I always was uncomfortable with it. How a guy could call me who I don't know and say such a heartfelt thing, a man from Alabama with a totally different accent, and say to me that I, Michael Savage, a kid from the ghettos of the Bronx, an immigrant son from a totally different background, is speaking his language, is telling him the same things he heard from his father and his uncles, and I feel like an uncle to him, tells me that there is a unification, a connection, a thread in this country that has been broken and torn, a tapestry that's been torn apart by these communist, socialist, anarchists called the New Democrat Party, who try to divide us and conquer us. They could wave all the flags they want. They could raise all the balloons they want. They could have all of these street hustlers that they want up there on the stage. But let me tell you something. There is another America. And this other America is never seen in the polls. It's never seen on television. But it's still the majority of America. And let me tell you something else, all you left-wing goonheads. We vote. And we're not voting for this creation of yours, this faker called Barack Hussein Obama. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. We only have 3 minutes left in this hour. Time is flying when you're having a bad time. Texas Pete, quickly, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's your point?
Yeah, Michael, I cannot understand why Joe Biden was chosen. The only thing I can come up with is Obama was either encouraged or pushed to select him as his running mate, because the leadership, Pelosi and Reid, really don't want him to be elected. They want to maintain the
power. Well, why would they not want Obama to be elected? It's their party.
Well, all I can think, and you know more than I do, is...
Well, but the first part of your statement I tend to agree with. Let's go to Delaware. Delaware is a very interesting state. Do I have to elucidate why I said that? Delaware is known as a very corrupt state. Now, I'm not accusing the senator of corruption, although there are skeletons in his past. That's true for most politicians. The man is the poorest member of the U.S. Senate, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a mark against him. If he's not smart enough to steal legally and wind up a rich man as a senator, I really worry about him as a vice presidential candidate. I'll tell you that. I mean, if you have a job like that and you don't make any money, you take a train home every night, just imagine what it'll do to the U.S. economy. That's what really worries me. I wouldn't mind a crook who's smart enough to enrich himself as a U.S. senator. There's plenty of those. Because if he can enrich himself and get away with it, just think of what he could do for our economy. But when you got a guy who has a job like this with all this power and he doesn't know how to make a living doing that, what in the heck is he going to do to our economy? That's what really worries me. Beverly in San Francisco on KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Your book cover.
Quickly.
Hello?
Quickly. What's your point?
My point is that I think you should make your last name Savage in yellow, and these words Savage Radio Stories should be bigger. And by the way, I'm
okay. Are you in book publishing?
I am a book publisher and an author, but I'm a book.
Wow.
Publisher.
Well, yeah, it's a very good idea. I mean, look, this is the first shot at the cover, and I'm getting some very good ideas. Do you like the photo of me and Teddy?
Oh, it's a good cover. It's excellent. But those were, you got to have the 20-foot rule, meaning being able to read the cover from 20 feet. And this Savage Radio Stories, I think, should be bigger. Plus the yellow. Yellow is the most visible color.
Well, it's interesting. Somebody even told me to call it Savage Radio Stories, as I originally said. But then I thought psychological nudity says more. Remember, this edition is a first edition, first printing only for my listeners. It's not in bookstores, Beverly. And so they pretty much know what psychological nudity is. They're going to buy it only from my website. It's not going to be in bookstores in this edition.
That's why you're asking us about the cover. You might try it reversing the title. Both titles are good. You might try it. See, you still want people to find you in databases, libraries, and the word.
No, it's only going to be on my website, and I'm also I'll tell more about it. It's only on my website. It's only for my audience. It's a collector's edition. I'm trying to tell you that. It's going to be collectible. Whatever. Enjoy it. It's fun. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere. Savage.